Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City is my good friend, my co-host, my brother in Christ, most importantly, Mr. David Paxton. And David, we have got a full show today. I mean, we
it was
have,
a fun week.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, actually what I'm going to start with is actually from this past weekend. And the reason I'm doing that is because it kind of highlights how much this week actually did mean. And that it also gives us a springboard, and we can kind of look ahead to what's happening in the future. And I believe that you'll agree with me that a lot of this stuff is just leading us exactly right down the line, exactly the way the Bible said that things were going to play out. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to be very, very much highlighted in this show. For those of you that are watching us on YouTube, we're trying to grow that channel. It is our weakest avenue. And the only way that we're going to grow that is if you guys will simply subscribe to the channel, like the videos, comment on them, do what, you know, we just want, we want to drive Google, and I hate using the word Google. I really do. I avoid it because I do Bing personally, but we want to try to grow that channel as much as we possibly can. The Last Christian, we're happy to say, is heard by more than 2 million people worldwide. We're on more than 60 radio stations. That's AM, FM, that's DAB, that's DB, that's internet, that's shortwave, whatever. Okay, we're out there. We're being heard, but we want to bring this show more into highlight with YouTube. With that said, I'm going to go ahead, David, and get us going. This was from last weekend, but actually it bled over into this week. And I actually feel sorry for Inkin Blinken and Nod. I really do, because he showed up at the wrong time over there. So let's listen to this real quick, and you'll get an idea.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman during a crucial four-day Middle East trip focused on resolving the hostage situation in Gaza and seeking a prolonged ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas conflict.
In Riyadh, Blinken highlighted the need to address Gaza's humanitarian crisis and prevent further escalation of the conflict, according to State Department spokesman Matthew Miller. The trip, which runs through Thursday, includes visits to Egypt, Qatar, Israel, and the West Bank, marking Blinken's fifth trip to the region since the conflict began on October 7th. Paul Gomez reporting.
Okay, so you can see that what the United States was focused on going all week was on Gaza, war that was going over there, the release of the hostages, the American position on that. And they were trying to play it both sides against the middle, David, and, you know, where the United States looks like it's in support of Israel, but weak in that support. Do you have any initial comments on that? Because what we're going to do is we're going to take it from there. And again, this is our week in review, so I'll play it to back all this up. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's what just strikes me, I just met a guy who is a reservist, and I think he was about in his 40s, but they called him back up, to send him over to Israel and do things. So he'll be over there and deployed for a year. And then I saw another article where the military was asking retirees to come back because they don't have enough people to go. Yeah. And this is just a result of the clown in chief and all his policies. People just aren't joining the military anymore, and the ones that, you know, then there's a lot of them leaving, so now it's really hurting. And I think that's by design, and this is just another you know, misstep in all of this chaos.
I totally agree with that. The U.S. military has become depleted. There's no doubt about that. Trump left a very, very strong military, and Biden's done all he can to spread us out all over the world. And every time we go to another country, well, that obviously takes more, you know, of your munitions and your people, everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now we can actually begin the week in review. So let's go ahead and listen to this.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with the Week in Review. The U.S. has warned Israeli military moves on Gaza's Rafah city without proper planning would be a disaster. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is moving ahead, though, with a massive operation south of Gaza, where more than a million Palestinians live on the border with Egypt. Sally Patterson has more.
In a televised address, US President Joe Biden said Israel's actions in Gaza had been, quote, over the top. The president's comments are being seen as his sharpest criticism so far of Israel since the war broke out in October. Separately, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the United States would not support a major Israeli military operation in Rafah under current conditions. Just hours later, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he ordered the military to prepare a plan to evacuate civilians from Rafah ahead of an expected Israeli invasion. Israel says that after more than 4 months of war, the city is the last remaining Hamas stronghold in Gaza. Sally Patterson, New York.
Okay, I want to highlight something here real quick, David, and get your comment on it. Because I have been saying for a pretty long time now that I felt the United States of America was going to pick the wrong team. And when Israel came under attack, that we weren't going to do anything. And I believe I have been proven correct by the president's own words. Because he opened his news conference Thursday evening, and he was kind of mumbling through it the way he does, and he said the response in Gaza, he didn't say Israel, but I mean who responded? It was Israel, right?
Yeah.
So he said the response in Gaza was, quote, over the top. Now that means
that
they're being excessive. I mean, there's no other way to look at that. When actually all they were doing is defending their country against terrorists that had just pulled off the worst terrorist act against Israel since the Holocaust of the 1940s. Okay, so you, what do you think? Over the top, is that something that the president of the United States should say to our best friend in the Middle East?
Well, I mean, the entire conference was just, you know, a senior moment, so to speak. And it's just, it's extremely ironic that he's saying it's over the top, but look at his response when someone questioned him about his memory.
Yeah.
Do you think that was over the top?
Just a bit.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, Imam, what's his name? Well, oh, he's a president of Mexico. I mean, come on, that's okay. Over the top. Your response, getting mad because someone's questioning you. That's their job, is to question you. They're
well,
the media.
Let me interject on that one real quick. This is the first time in Biden's presidency that I've seen a media, mainstream media, that actually asked him a relative and meaningful question. For the most part, it's been, hey, what kind of flavor of ice cream do you like, Mr. President? Hey, Mr. President, what's your dog's name? You know, that's basically been the U.S. press since he took office on January the 20th of 2021. And now in this last news conference, there was nothing but screaming from the media. Are you fit? Are you going to step down? There was actually a 45-minute wait from the time that the White House announced that Joe Biden had yelled at his staff and demanded to be on television. There was a 45-minute wait, and when he showed up, the question, and it was being discussed in mainstream media, liberal, conservative, independent, everywhere, is he going to announce he's not running again for president? That was what people were talking about. And then he gets on there and he says he's the most qualified candidate to be president. Okay. Now, this gets worse. And now usually, and people that listen to the show know, I hate to talk about politics, but in this particular case, we have to, because this is something that is affecting the entire world. Okay, the entire world is focused on the United States of America. And then I'm going to tell you why this is so important. So let's go ahead and now listen to this.
U.S. President Joe Biden will not face criminal charges over his mishandling of classified documents dating back to his time as Barack Obama's vice president. A Department of Justice special prosecutor has revealed, though, that the president is suffering from significant limitations with regard to his memory, something both the White House and President Biden has denied. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
The special prosecutor's report confirms President Biden will not face criminal charges, even though boxes of classified documents were found in his offices and in his personal garage. But the real bombshell comes in the detail. Department of Justice officials say the president, in interviews with them, demonstrated his memory is now significantly limited and his responses to questions painfully slow. He could not remember which years he served as vice president or the year in which his son died. The report raises a host of fresh questions about Joe Biden's capacity to seek four more years in office.
Okay, now, yes, there were documents found in Mar-a-Lago. And those, by the way, were in very well-maintained boxes. The former president had told people, hey, you know, come on in, take a look. Tell me if I need to do anything different. They said, can you add one more lock to your door? That was it. Okay, but they charged him with willfully holding secure documents that he was fully entitled to. That's a felony case that's going on right now, and I promise you it'll eventually probably make it to the Supreme Court, and I predict, it's my opinion, that they'll throw it out. Okay? Biden, on the other hand, I don't know if you saw where those documents were being held, but they were in a busted-out cardboard box that they couldn't even pick up without the thing falling apart, with absolutely no locks, in his garage, and he'd held them since he was a senator with no ability to maintain that legally. And the special report that came out said that he willfully did that, and it was a violation of law, and it was a felony, but they weren't going to charge him because they didn't think that they could get it through to a jury because he was a sympathetic old man with a bad memory. In other words, he's not competent to stand trial. That's the implication. Yeah. Not competent
now,
to stand trial.
Now they got this conundrum, right?
Right.
You got a conundrum. Well, we don't want to charge him, so let's call him senile.
Yeah.
But if he's senile, he can't be president.
Well, now, there is a Senator Josh Hawley. And this, by the way, is breaking news. This today. Josh Hawley has said that the Attorney General, Mr. Garland, should either invoke the 25th Amendment, which would remove him from office from being incompetent, or to charge him with that felony. It's got to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that 100%. Do you have any comment on that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the logical way to do it. But, you know, the powers that be, they're trying something. And let's see if they actually do what most people think is logical. Even his supporters are like, yeah, he's kind of like out there. Maybe we should get someone else in there. Now, I was of the opinion when they first put him in, I thought they were going to do this early on to get Cackles in there.
Me too.
And it seems like, I guess they missed that opportunity. Maybe he screamed and whined so much that they didn't do it. Because here we are, basically it's at the end of it. What's the use of putting her in now?
Yeah, well, you know, she scares me. I mean, she's got, right now, she's got 28% approval, which is actually lower than President Biden's. I think his is at 32 or something like that. So she's even less popular than he is. Nobody even takes her seriously anymore, as far as I can tell. So she's not the replacement. But they're talking about Michelle Obama. You know, bring in Michelle Obama at the convention.
Big Mike.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to see a Trump and Biden rematch. And I said about a year ago that I really felt like that Biden would be involved in the middle of an impeachment hearing and Trump would be involved in the middle of a felony trial at the same time that they were both running for president. And I think that's beginning to maybe play out. We'll see.
I saw in the Epoch Times as well that they actually found voter fraud evidence in the mail-in ballots And it actually proved everything. Yeah. So they actually found it and proved everything. Mm-hmm. So which means now you got to let all those January 6 people go. You got to just drop all these charges. You got to do everything. So they're in a real conundrum here.
Oh, they really are. Yeah. But Biden's not done, though. He's still lashing out. Let's listen to this one.
U.S. President Joe Biden has responded angrily to questions raised about his memory in the investigation into his handling of classified documents. Biden's age remains a concern for voters ahead of November's election. Ira Spitzer reports.
President Biden held a surprise briefing on Thursday evening following the release of the report by special counsel Robert Hur, in which Hur suggested the 81-year-old president's memory had significant limitations, while also explaining his decision not to charge Biden over allegedly mishandling classified files. Biden insisted his memory is fine and that despite his age, he's the most qualified person for the job. Later in the briefing, Biden incorrectly referred to Egypt's president as the president of Mexico.
Okay. So I've got two written reports here I'm going to go over real quick. The first one is that initially, and I'm talking Thursday night, when he actually held his news conference. All this came out then, okay? So this is from the mainstream media. Mainstream media, okay, that's been covering for him forever. It said that shortly after insisting his memory was fine, Biden proceeded to refer to Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as the president of Mexico.
Guy.
Okay, the president of Mexico. And he even in... What was really crazy is even in his press conference, he said initially the president of Mexico didn't want to open the border up to allow aid into Gaza. So now he's replaced Egypt with Mexico. Okay. So that was how one of the things that he started with. Okay.
It's sad on one part, but the fact that everyone's insinuating that he's okay is the laughable part.
Yeah, but see, now this is, again, now this comes from Thursday, okay? And this, again, is the mainstream media. So the New York Times called the event a political disaster. Mm. Axios wrote that Biden's performance was a nightmare for his staff. And they went on, and this is a quote from them. They said, for years now, President Biden's advisors have carefully choreographed his every move to avoid what exploded into view over 6 hours Thursday, a vivid display of an elderly, irritable man struggling on a public stage. The Guardian reported that Biden was combative, emotional, and then, not for the first time, took one too many questions and paid the price. It was then that, having protested his memory is all good and his age is not an issue, that Biden put his foot in it again, mistakenly referring to Egypt's leader as the president of Mexico. This followed his assertions that in recent days he met with François Mitterrand of France and Helmut Kohl of Germany when both were already dead. The Washington Post described Biden's performance as full of fury when he was speaking about his son Beau's death, referenced in the Hur report. The report revealed that Biden had a hazy memory about when he was previously in office and when his son died. In his interview with our office, Mr. Biden's memory was worse, the report stated. He did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of the interview when his term ended, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president, he said, and forgetting on the second day of the interview when his term began in 2009 and asked the question, am I still vice president? Now, this is coming from the mainstream media on Thursday night. Now, also, immediately the next morning, it was different. They switched it completely up, and it's like, okay, why would they even be talking about his mental abilities in this report? It had nothing to do with it. That's shouldn't have even been discussed. That's their thing now. But here's this part. Foreign outlets. You got to remember, when the president speaks, the world listens. He's supposed to be the leader of the free world, okay? So in Australia, Joe Biden's confusion in chief. That's what he calls them. The confusion in chief, the rage of an elderly man with poor memory who leads the free world. In the UK, they said Biden hits back at memory loss claims in fiery speech before making another glaring gaffe. Down here in Texas, and this is the one that I have been talking about for months and months. Okay, this is Wesley Hunt, the Republican here in Texas. He said, let me get this straight. Biden is too cognitively impaired to be charged with a crime, but he's not too impaired to be commander in chief. Okay. Now, my point has always been nuclear codes. This guy's got the nuclear codes. Mm-hmm. So now I don't know. I honestly didn't, not in the military. But if he gave an order to shoot a nuclear missile, is there anybody that can override him on that? Do you know?
Yeah, I think a consensus is actually allowed to override it, kind of like a veto. Okay. But, you know, I don't think he would remember the codes. So,
well, he doesn't have to, does he? I mean, isn't it sort of
I don't know.
I don't either. Maybe somebody out there can give us more information on that. But
yeah, you know, send it in.
Yeah, my fear has always been an attack on us. And Mr. President, what's the response? How do you want us to respond? And you heard that silence?
Yep.
I think that would be the same silence that Joe Biden would have. I don't think he would have the slightest idea what to do.
He wouldn't even know. He would ask, what's that the president of Mexico doing that?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'm going to conclude this part of it with this. This is again from the report. He said in his interview with our office, Mr. Biden's memory was worse. He did not remember when he was vice president. He did not remember even within several years when his son Beau died. And his memory appeared hazy when describing the Afghanistan debate that was once so important to him. Among other things, he mistakenly said that he had a real difference of opinion with General Carl Elkenberry, when in fact Elkenberry was an ally whom Mr. Biden cited approvingly in his Thanksgiving memo to former President Obama. So anyway, I don't know. I think that this is the first step in what I have been worrying about, that the United States is going to step away from support of Israel. And I take that from his very first thing, you know, over the top. David?
Yeah, whereas the question remains now, from a biblical perspective, is this the actual lead up to the end of the age? Because all the chaos is coming down. Right. And that's because, you know, God said he's going to give them over to their delusions.
Right.
And then, you know, professing to be wise, they became fools. So here we are smack up against the end of the age. So are we going to, like, finally get some sense into our heads? Or has this, forced inoculations caused everybody to just be out of their minds, similar to what he is? And are we going to move forward towards the mark of the beast?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And it's amazing that God thought enough of us to put us here at the end of the age to watch the entire Bible of prophecy come to fruition. We've never seen all of the convergence of prophetic events as what we see right now. And it's just amazing to me. So
it really is. Go ahead.
We know, I know for a fact, me and you in 50 years will be, you know, celebrating with the Lord one way or the other.
Amen.
So this is just an exciting adventure we're on right now, you know.
Amen.
And I didn't have to buy tickets. I just kind of sit here and walk through it, and then we go home. It's going to be fun.
Speaking of buying tickets, we do want to let everybody know that there is a conference being held in Dallas. David is one of the featured speakers there. David, can you please tell people about the conference and also how they can save a little money as well as support our show?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. If you're watching this on February 10th, you got a couple days left to get the early bird special. But go to hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com, plural men. And you could see the conference that's coming up on April 8th, 5th through the 8th, excuse me, of 24. So we're going to have a lot of fun as prophetic signs of the end of the times here. So and you get a lot of speakers that are going to say a lot of things that you're not allowed to say on social media because they take them down.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get insight. You'll be able to sit with some speakers. You'll be able to ask them questions. And even if you can't make it there, you can definitely get the live stream. But definitely use the code whenever you get your tickets, Last Christian. Well, one word, no spaces, Last Christian, and you can get $10 off the ticket. So that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Make sure you get there or at least get the live stream that you can hold on to and bring your friends over, have a party, and watch it together. Amazing. Amen. Check it out, hearthewatchmen.com.
Amen. Amen. And, of course, he was saying that, you know, this the discounted thing, and I'm talking about the overall discounted price. That is going to expire on February 15th, but after that, you'll still be able to get your $10 discount by using the code Last Christian for the price that will, take place after that. It's just like being an early bird and say more. That's really mm-hmm. what it is. Mm-hmm. Just use the code Last Christian all together. No spaces there. I got one more piece of news here in this few seconds we got left here in the first part of the show. And that is that Pope Francis is hitting back about critics for blessing same-sex couples. I couldn't believe this. I really couldn't believe it. But anyway, we'll talk about that. I think it's fair to talk about it in the second half of the show because I believe that there's even more support going on right now that we are truly in the birth pains before the rapture of the church. And mm-hmm. I want to really highlight that with a bunch of other reports here in the second half of the show that all relate to this. The world, David, is looking for a leader, and that leader, they're going to find him, but they're going to mm-hmm. find him after we're gone. So anybody that wants to join us and avoid the Great Tribulation, the worst time that the earth has ever seen or ever will see, all you've got to do is go to the Lord and say, God, please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know that. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on the third day just like he said he would. I know he has ascended to heaven. I know he sits at your right hand, and I know he's waiting on that word from God. Go get him. He's going to come down here. He's going to get every Christian living and dead away from the problems that are going to happen. That's where you want to be. You don't want to suffer through the tribulations. Please pray the prayer in your own words. God hears your heart. Don't worry so much about exactly getting your words right. God hears your heart. He will save you. He will keep you from the problem if you'll simply come to him in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be back right after the break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with The Week in Review. The U.S. has warned Israeli military moves on Gaza's Rafah city without proper planning would be a disaster. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is moving ahead, though, with a massive operation south of Gaza, where more than 1 million Palestinians live on the border with Egypt. Sally Patterson has more.
In a televised address, U.S. President Joe Biden said Israel's actions in Gaza had been, quote, over the top. The president's comments are being seen as his sharpest criticism so far of Israel since the war broke out in October. Separately, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the United States would not support a major Israeli military operation in Rafah under current conditions. Just hours later, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he ordered the military to prepare a plan to evacuate civilians from Rafah ahead of an expected Israeli invasion. Israel says that after more than 4 months of war, the city is the last remaining Hamas stronghold in Gaza. Sally Patterson, New York.
U.S. President Joe Biden will not face criminal charges over his mishandling of classified documents dating back to his time as Barack Obama's vice president. A Department of Justice special prosecutor has revealed, though, that the president is suffering from significant limitations with regard to his memory, something both the White House and President Biden has denied. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
The special prosecutor's report confirms President Biden will not face criminal charges, even though boxes of classified documents were found in his offices and in his personal garage. But the real bombshell comes in the detail. Department of Justice officials say the president, in interviews with them, demonstrated his memory is now significantly limited and his responses to questions painfully slow. He could not remember which years he served as vice president or the year in which his son died. The report raises a host of fresh questions about Joe Biden's capacity to seek 4 more years in office.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has replaced his country's top general in one of the nation's biggest leadership shakeups since Russia's full-scale invasion. Zelensky says Ukraine is in urgent need of change. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
The shakeup doesn't come as a surprise. Questions over the fate of Ukraine's top commander, Valery Zaluzhny, has been swirling since reports emerged that Zelensky had asked the general to step down last week. These reports were initially denied by Zelensky's spokesman, but the Ukrainian president later revealed in an interview with an Italian news outlet that he was planning a wider leadership shakeup that would involve more than one personnel change. Zelensky has appointed Oleksandr Syrsky, head of Ukraine's ground forces, to replace Zaluzhny, and it is unclear how or whether the leadership change would shift the dynamic of the war.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas. And joining me from New York City is Mr. David Paxton. David, I ended the first half of the show with this comment from Pope Francis. Now, he's hitting back at criticism that he has endorsed blessings for same-sex couples. Now, this is quoting him. And by the way, this is a report from CNN. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one is scandalized if I give a blessing to an entrepreneur who perhaps exploits people, and that is a most serious sin, the Pope said.
Mm.
He says, whereas they are scandalized if I give it to a homosexual, this is hypocrisy. We all have to respect each other. Everyone. The heart of the document is welcome, whatever that means. But he is basically saying, okay, another priest here, this is priest Don Vicencia Vital, who conducted the interview with the Pope. He said, I don't bless a same-sex marriage. I bless two people who love each other, and I also ask them to pray for me. Yeah, I guess they should pray for him, yeah.
Yeah, well, the devil prays for the other devils, so.
Yeah. look, I always have to say this. Always have to be very, very careful with this. I am not here to demonize anyone who is a homosexual or who is confused or that is a part of the LGBTQXYZ plus alternate Z community.
Soup.
Okay.
I want to make a sandwich, the LBGTQ sandwich. It's like a BLT kind of.
I'm not criticizing you, but I am going to tell you, because this is biblical, that God abhors it. God hates it. God does not endorse it.
And I'd like to touch on that if we could.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
It's not that he hates the people.
No.
He's telling you, listen, this is not the way you were made. This will kill you.
Right.
Okay. And him being a good father and being firm, and people take that as, God, hates this and he's going to destroy it. No, that sin, just like all the other sins, are going to destroy you. And you will end up in the lake of fire, what we call hell. If you don't change, that's love, to tell you the truth. Because if he didn't love you, he wouldn't tell you.
Right.
He'd be like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Go to hell. I don't care.
I'm actually glad that you clarified what I just said, because I never meant to even insinuate that God hated anyone, but he does hate sin 100%. Yeah.
Right. He hates, you know, the drunken womenizers and thieves. And he hates all that sin, mm-hmm. but not the sinner. For God right. so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you don't have to sin anymore. Right. He's not telling you because he's like, I'm mad at you. He's mad at sin itself. He's mad at the devil because he's already, you know, placed that eternal decision. You, while you're still alive, still have that opportunity to make an eternal choice before you step into eternity and you're right. stuck there.
Right.
Okay. And that's kind of what we're talking about with the rapture. Now, mm-hmm. Would you mind if we like clarify the rapture a little bit?
Oh no, I would love a discussion on that. I've got okay. a little, I got some more news here. Some of it's Israel, but it can wait for a moment.
Okay. All right. So this is, it's going to be real clear. We talk about, hey, the rapture can be any minute. Some of the church people who have, you know, basically church doctrine from eons ago say that, oh, there is no rapture or the rapture is after the tribulation and this and that. But you really have to understand that, think of it like this. Jesus is coming back to get his bride. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's coming back and he's going to take his bride to go to the wedding supper. Okay. Now there's different people for that. Israel is a different thing. Israel is not the bride unless someone who's a Jew becomes born again
Amen.
And receives Christ. But they're apostate right now. So Jesus said, hey, you will not see me again. He was talking to Israel. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Remember the chicken event, right?
Yeah.
So. The Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there will be a time coming up near the end of the tribulation period where Israel as a whole says, yes, this is our Messiah. Mm-hmm. And they finally receive him. In the meantime, there's this period called the Ecclesia or the called out ones. Mm-hmm. And they will be the ones who are the bride of Christ, as opposed to Israel, who is going to mm-hmm. be, you know, the wedding guests or the mother or, you know, there's a lot of different metaphors that are used. If you right. use, like, if you see in Revelation, she gave birth. Mm-hmm. So there's, and those are all just metaphors. Cause remember we talk about on our Bible, show that we can't understand the other six dimensions that we have. Right. So he tries to help us understand them with what we can understand.
Right.
And those are all these metaphors. So that's what they're there for. But the rapture is where he takes a bride away. And then that final 7 years that is dealing specifically with thy people, Daniel, which would be the Jews. That's the last mm-hmm. week of years.
Yeah.
Okay. The week of years is 7 years of Shabuah. That's in Daniel chapter 9. So mm-hmm. go read Daniel chapter 9 and that will happen. That cannot happen while the church is still here because it has to go back to an Israel-centric view.
Right.
So if you think the church is going to go through that, you're gravely mistaken. And it's not because it's an escapism, even though it says, hey, you should escape these things. Mm-hmm. It does, but it's not an escapism kind of view. Oh, I don't like that, so I think I'll just run away. That's not what it is. We literally, the church cannot be here because he has to deal specifically with Israel. And there's a lot to parse out in that.
Yeah.
But the rapture is an imminent event. It was even imminent back when Paul was talking about it. They're like, hey, did it happen yet?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but he does that on purpose. And because he doesn't want people to like name a day. Hey, it's going to be next Thursday at noon, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll just be bad until Thursday morning then. No, we need to be looking up. We need to be looking for Jesus to return. Now, here we are 2,000 years later. Clearly, we're much closer to yeah. this event we call yeah. the rapture yeah. back then. And the preponderance of evidence and prophecies was what, you know, Joel, you mentioned the birth pains. This is what it is. You might have a contraction and then a couple of days later, another one, and then you feel sick and then this and that. But when they all start coming together, contractions are getting stronger. They're mm-hmm. getting closer together, more right. repeatedness. And yeah. you could feel the change that's coming when the baby's about to be born, which is right. a lot different than the Braxton Hicks contractions that we've had you know, for the past 30, 40 years. Right. Those were just the precursors to what's actually happening now. And our new show is specifically about, hey, this is what's happening in Israel.
Yeah.
is exactly what the Bible says.
Right.
And this is exactly what's going to happen to Israel in the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. So it's happening quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And as the old adage goes, when you see the Christmas decorations in the mall, you know, Thanksgiving's around the corner.
Yeah.
So here we are. The tribulation is literally around the corner, which means the rapture is that much closer.
I agree.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you kind of tapped on this, but Jesus made it clear in, I'm sorry, I don't have book and all that, but, you know, he basically said, if you knew when the master was coming back to the house, you would be ready. You would have all of your stuff together, but he doesn't want you to know that. He wants to know who's good, who's bad. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I'm doing a lot of, you know, side work here, but
yeah, but that's the idea.
Yeah. He doesn't want you to know. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to take it upon yourself to be ready for when the master comes back. If you know when the master's coming back, then you can play all the games you want to and clean up your mess and have it ready by the time he gets there. And, oh, I was a good little boy. But
yeah, like
if you don't know in advance, then you act the way that you really are. And that's what he wants to know, whether or not you really love Jesus Christ in your heart or if you're pretending to. Now, again, I'm adding a whole bunch of stuff in there. I'm you know, this is my opinion kind of stuff. But do you agree with where I'm going with it, David?
That's basically what he says. He says, you know, you need to be ready. You know, one of the parables talks about, you know, the owner of the house basically gave everybody some money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
And one a little bit, one a medium bit, and one a lot of bit.
Right.
And he says, occupy until I come.
Amen.
And you don't know when I'm coming back.
Amen.
And occupy literally means to do business. So it's kingdom business that we need to be up to till the very moment he arrives back.
Right.
Because if they knew, you know, if you know, Corinthians and all them, if they knew it wasn't going to be for 2,000 years, do you think they would have
proclamated like some wild times?
Be like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that would have been some wild times. That
yeah,
is
and then we
sure.
wouldn't even have the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you do have to be ready. And, you know, it is going to happen at a time that only God knows. That's what Jesus himself said, you know. And again, for anybody, just read the Bible. I would encourage you to read Matthew 24. I think that's a big one. And I know there's others. Daniel is a good book of the Bible to read. Ezekiel 38 and 39, that'll put you in current events, and you can read about that. Just translate the old country names into the new country names, and you say, oops, I guess this happens, about to happen, isn't it? So anyway, now we're going to have a show one of these days. I keep promising this, and we're really going to do it. We're going to have a show strictly about the rapture.
Rapture show.
Yeah, 100%. And David, I think you've got a guy that's really in tune with that we'll have on. That'll be the day that we get into it deep, and that might even go more than one show. Warn him in advance, okay? Because you never know.
It's gonna be a little bit.
Okay, I'm gonna throw in a couple of news reports here, real quick. First of all, there is a Israeli minister that has endorsed Donald Trump for president. Now, that's because Israel is beginning to understand Joe Biden is not their greatest friend. So. As that begins, now what happens with Jewish people here in the United States, I don't know. You'll probably have a better insight on that. But another thing that's going on is this Houthis thing, you know, where the Houthis are attacking everybody. And the United States is supposedly taking them out, but they're not taking them out. What they're doing is they're giving them a week's notice about where they're going to hit. And then they hit them when there's nobody there. I mean, you know, it's kind of stupid. But anyway, listen to this one real quick. It kind of explains a little bit of it.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, a contrarian view on the wisdom of the US and UK's airstrikes on Houthi rebels in Yemen. The US says they are having an impact and will, over time, blunt the ability of the Houthis to continue posing a threat to merchant shipping in the Red Sea. Michael Scheuer is the former head of the CIA's Bin Laden unit at its counter-terrorism center. He does not think the US-led airstrikes will work.
It'll hurt the Houthis in the sense it'll kill some people and it will destroy equipment that they're using. But the Houthis are much like the Afghans. You know, they're just not going to quit. They're going to keep fighting and find ways to hurt you that are sometimes ingenious. And certainly these pitiful attacks by the United States only make the people in the Middle East, especially the Islamist Arabs, think that we're no enemy at all because they're picking out targets that have been on our books for probably 20 years and we just chose to save them until we needed an excuse to attack. You have to have a reason to attack something and you identify these things that may or may not be dangerous, list them as dangerous, and then save them for a rainy day. And that's exactly what you saw here.
And there are several prominent Democrats on Capitol Hill who also oppose President Biden's action against the Houthis, saying that Saudi Arabia waged war on them for 8 years and despite brutal conflict did not succeed in terminating the Houthi threat in the region. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
What do you think about that, David?
Well, yeah, he's absolutely right. You know, you're going and you're knocking over their sandcastle over there, but they got real buildings over here. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, the Islam MO, if you would, the modus operandi, this is in their Quran. We will fight. Okay. And even the Bible says that, you know, you'll be a brawler and your offspring, they'll all be brawlers all the time. That is what they want to do, and that is even why they fight each other, because it's in their creed that if they don't have anyone else to fight, they will fight each other, because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want your enemy to stop attacking you, you need to take them out. Okay? Right. You know, peeing on their shoe or pushing them over is not going to stop. They're just not going to stop because this is what they believe they were here to do. They have to cause chaos to bring in their Mahdi. Okay. They have their own little version of the savior coming.
Right.
And he will not come until the Islams melt the earth, basically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of their goal. That's why they want all these nuclear weapons, because they said that will bring their savior back. Now, the wild thing is their savior resembles the Antichrist. Exactly.
Yeah.
And like this 100%. Is what's going to happen. Bible prophecy will clearly tell you when there's chaos and mayhem in the world, they're going to look for that leader to come. Mm-hmm. And just read the Islam stuff that they have. This is what they're trying to do on purpose. And you can see who the Antichrist really is.
Amen. I agree 100%. You know, and I don't understand why our administration refuses to acknowledge the fact that the Iranians hold all the keys to everything that's going on right now, because they're the ones that are paying the bills for all these terrorist organizations. And we basically admit that, but then deny it at the same time. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You've got to listen to these guys. They are like double speak, like mad. It's insane. Now in Pakistan, of course, is another Islamic country, but they're also experiencing a lot of the same stuff we are in a kind of a weird way. And just listen to this one real quick and I'll try to explain.
The votes are still being counted for the general election that was held in Pakistan, with a possible upset on the cards. A final outcome was expected by the early hours of Friday morning local time, but there have been long delays in getting the official results, which has led to allegations of vote rigging. Hira Mustafa reports from Islamabad.
With more than 50% of the official results in, there is clear support for Pakistan's jailed former Prime Minister Imran Khan. Candidates who would be standing as part of his PTI party are currently leading in the race to secure the majority of seats. But legal challenges before the election means they were all forced to stand as independents. Political analysts believe public sympathy and a feeling that Khan and his party were being unfairly punished might have led to the surge in votes. Another former Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, is still confident of victory. His opponents have accused him of being the beneficiary of rigged results, a charge he strongly denies. Hira Mustafa, Islamabad.
Does any of that sound like some, like maybe 2020 to you? And then, on top of that, the person that they're talking about who's winning, who's ahead, and who has actually won, but they don't want to acknowledge it, is the former prime minister, president, whatever, of Pakistan, and he's in jail. Okay, so again,
put him in jail, and they're trying to put Trump in jail.
Right,
that's all the same.
It's amazing that the left across the world is using exactly the same playbook in every country, and unfortunately for them, it's failing. The people aren't buying they're not buying it. Okay, now this is the last report I'm going to play. Got several more, but this is the last one I'm going to play. And this one deals with Egypt and Israel. And I think it's significant enough that we do need to cover it. Let's listen to this one.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Middle East for talks, his fifth tour since October 7th, as pressure mounts to negotiate a ceasefire in Gaza and avoid wider regional escalation. Sarah Coates reports.
Well, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's crisis tour of the Middle East continues. He is meeting with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Cairo amid concerns that any further military push into the southern Gazan city of Rafah could in fact see many displaced Palestinians pushed over the border into Egypt. Now, there's also concern over the peace treaty between the two countries, with Egypt also saying that any deployment of Israeli forces on that Egyptian border could jeopardize such an agreement. Well, this comes as tensions continue to escalate on the vital Red Sea shipping channel. The Iran-backed Yemen-based Houthi rebels claim that they fired naval missiles at two ships, adding one was U.S. and another was British. Sarah Coates, Tel Aviv.
So Egypt is not happy with Israel because what they were doing is there's only one way out of Gaza, really. I mean, they're not gonna allow people in Gaza to escape into Syria or Lebanon because those are controlled by terrorists. The only avenue out is through Egypt in the south of the Gaza Strip. And the people there in Egypt have really been fighting Israel hard about opening that up. They're afraid, number one, they're afraid they're going to let terrorists into their country. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a border, and they're trying to protect it. So they don't want terrorists coming in. Israel's not trying to let them, you know, just run people in there saying, you know, vet them, do whatever you want to do. But we need to have that open enough to where people that are really being affected by this and have nothing to do with this war can get out. A good place to be. And Egypt has basically tried to keep it closed. And Israel finally said, okay, look, we're going to open it ourselves. We're going to take control of it. It's only like 100 yards. Believe it or not, 100 yards. That's what they're fighting over, okay? And we're going to take it over. And now Egypt says, well, if you do that, you're going to destroy relations with us. Remember, they got a peace treaty. I'm not really sure how this is all going to work out, David, but it's not going to go well for anybody that opposes the Israeli effort. And Israel's going to do exactly what they said they were. They said they've already overwhelmed Hamas. They've destroyed most of the tunnels, and they're going to destroy them all before they leave, that according to Prime Minister Netanyahu. So I don't understand. Do you have a read on this Rafah thing, the Rafah exit area down there? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm not really. I mean, they're pushing them all down there, but it's the same story. It's just going to escalate until the point where the entire world is coming against Israel.
Right.
Now, I just find it ironic that everybody's just talking out of both sides of their mouth here. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we see at the end. You know, we go back to Ezekiel 38 again. Oh, are you here to take a spoil? Are you here to do this? And it's the same MO. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm on your side, but no, we're not going to do what you want, and we're going to condemn you for it's befuddling, but also confirmation of Bible prophecy. So I don't have any particular insight on that Egypt one, except that's a really tiny little narrow path they're going through there.
Yeah, it is a tiny little path. And, you know, what the Palestinians are trying to press right now is something like a 6-month ceasefire, release of all of their people, and then a release of the hostages. You know, and they don't even have a good count on it anymore. I mean, I don't think they ever had a count on it, really. But, you know, there's people in Israel, they just want their people back now. And some of them are willing to give away whatever. You know, and it's hard for me to criticize them for that, mm-hmm. for those particular families, not Israel right. itself, but those families. Because, you know, if, for instance, if I had one of my kids or one of my grandkids was a hostage in another country, I will do anything and everything possible to get them out. Okay. I mean, that's just human nature. But you've got a prime minister in Israel that's saying, hey, we've got to destroy these people where they don't take more hostages and cause more havoc and kill more people. So we need to take care of that first. And unfortunately for you folks that have hostage family members over there, they may die. You know, I'm sorry about that, but it may happen.
It's sad, but that is the logical move because, you know, if you don't, you're going to lose them and more people.
Right. Right.
As opposed to just them. And, you know, if it was me over there, I'd be like, yeah, blow the place up.
Yeah.
I'll be in heaven anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Send it over. Get it. Yeah. Make sure you get everybody. Kind of like Samson, you know?
Yeah. So you can, you know, you can kind of understand that both sides of the issue in Israel, and you can understand why, Palestinians that had nothing to do with it grabbed all their family and ran south because that's where Israel told them to go. And now Egypt's holding them up about coming over. And, you know, I mean, it's not like they can run background checks. You know, I mean, they just don't really have too much of that. You know, you got to have people that, oh, I know him. He's a part of the this and that or whatever. I mean, that's kind of what you got to count on, unfortunately. And again, this all plays right into the Bible because all of these countries that are involved right around Israel, they are listed very specifically in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as the countries that will come against Israel from the north, south, east, and west, and that nobody, including the United States of America, which I again believe is choosing the wrong side as we record this show today, you know, everybody's turning on Israel. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to come to their aid. It says so. And it says that there'll be attack from the north, south, east, and west, that everybody's going to basically say, well, Israel's history, including Israel, and then God himself comes down and destroys all those armies in the mountains of Israel.
Yeah. Now, and that's the glory of it. It has to be impossible for God to show his strength and his glory and you know, that he is God. It can be no other way other than God, and everyone's going to see that. Oh, man, this must have been God.
Amen. And, you know, and we're nearing that point, and that's the reason, again, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we implore you to please read the Bible, go to the Lord in prayer. You know he exists, even if you have said your whole life, I'll never do it. You know. And all you got to do is ask God for forgiveness. Say, I know I'm a sinner, Father. Please forgive me of my sins in the name of Jesus Christ. I know he died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose again on that third day. I know he's coming back for his church. And then I know that God is going to unleash wrath that I want nothing part of. I promise to follow you all the remaining years of my life or days or minutes or seconds of my life. And I pray this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. And if you are that last individual we're looking for, that last Christian before the rapture of the church, then the next face that you see is going to be Jesus Christ. And you'll be surrounded by all of Christians, David and myself, and every Christian living and dead in the air. And you'll be saved for eternity, and we will spend eternity with all of us and the Lord in heaven. Well, that's going to wrap up this week in review for this week. Join us next week, I hope, for another edition of The Last Christian. Till then, good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.